this section of bless this home. Well, this first verse is Matthew 5:8, and most of you in here may have heard this or heard it misquoted. I'm not sure, but blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. So blessed are the what? Tell me out. Blessed are the
pure in heart,
for they will see God. So blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Pure in heart. Purity. Something that sadly our culture has disregarded and pushed over and pushed away. And purity is no longer looked at as a great virtue. To be pure is not talked about in high regard. The scriptures talk about purity in very high regard, and it is vitally important. Without Christ, there is no such thing as a pure heart. Did you hear that? Without Christ, there is no such thing as a pure heart.
Amen.
There are people that may say, I'm pure in heart. I've got a good heart. I am a good-hearted person. Have you heard that before? Now, we can say we're good-hearted people, but if we don't have Christ, and you can feel free to disagree with what I'm sharing. Without Christ, there is no such thing as a pure heart, and I'm going to back that up for you, okay? Because if you disagree, you may disagree because of past experience. You may disagree because you've met people that are really kind and generous that don't proclaim Christ as their Lord and their Savior and their God. And there are people that are very kind and very nice and very loving. And Christ isn't a part of their life. And that can get confusing at times. Would you agree?
Yes.
I'm going to explain why without Christ, there is no such thing. In Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10, often people quote Jeremiah 29, 11. But this is Jeremiah. Jeremiah was known as the weeping prophet. And the reason why he was known as the weeping prophet, because he got called out by God to go and speak to a people that were so hard in heart that they didn't want to hear what God had to say to them. They didn't want to hear it. And they didn't want anything to do with Jeremiah. Jeremiah was often scared for his life. Because he had to share these truths for them to repent and to turn away from their sin. And Jeremiah would often, God, why me? God, I don't want to do it this time. Please, God, send somebody else. Come save me. And God's going, no, Jeremiah, I'm calling you up.
That was Jonah.
Maybe, God's calling us up to do something that we feel really uncomfortable.
It's like four people.
We need to do it because God's calling
us out.
The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Do you know that? We don't want to hear that, do we?
That person has a good heart.
You like that voice?
Nope.
No, but that gets spoken quite frequently. But what makes someone have a good heart? What makes someone have a good heart?
Christ.
Who can understand it? Ready? We're going to say this together. I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. That's who searches the heart and examines the mind. God searches the heart. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. He's the ultimate brain surgeon. He's the ultimate heart surgeon. And he examines the mind and the heart. Because not much purity comes from our heart and mind if it's on our own, right? We can think, like, you know what, I'm going to take care of that person. And a lot of times what we do is we do it out of our own selfishness in reality. How will that make me feel? That will probably make me feel good, so I'm going to do that. See, God's going, God puts everything. He does a full 180 with almost every concept that we think. Like, we would often say that the heart is good. And my mind is good. And we would be right in many ways because God created man and woman in his image and every Are you sure it was good?
Great. Very good.
No. What did it say? What does the scripture say?
Very good.
Wow.
What did you say? Very good. Everything else was good. When he created man and woman in his image, it was very good. So, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. And we don't want to think that. But it is the case. But the Lord, he searches and he seeks to help us develop our heart and our mind and in tune that with him. And when it happens, beautiful things take place. Then we go to Ephesians, and in the book of Ephesians, we find some things that are quite fascinating, because Ephesians 4, 18 through 19 says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity.
Oh boy.
I want you to just step back from the culture and all the stuff that we get absorbed with and begin to process what is actually happening in your personal life due to the multimedia, to the whether it be the media outlets that you watch, whether it be what you look at online, what you read online, what it is that you watch for movies. I want you to step away from your life and think, like, if God were to look at my life and what I watch, what I do, who I interact with, what I say, the comments I make to other humans, what would God think of that? What would the picture be of God looking at that? If I could step back away from my life and examine the things in my life and what I'm making choices to do and not do, is that, ready? Here's the question. Is what I'm doing honoring God? Is it pleasing God? Or am I defiling God? We don't want the latter. We don't want to talk about very much. Do we? It's too hard. We don't want to examine ourselves like that. But the scriptures say, examine yourself. Right? Examine ourselves. Because those that don't know God, we've all been in this place. We've all been in a place where we didn't know God. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
A couple of us agree with that. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. See, there's a separation. That great divide, that chasm that separates humanity from God. But the only way that it is bridged is through that old rugged cross where I first saw the light. My sins, and my God has cleansed me of my sin and has allowed me to bridge that great chasm. That great divide has been bridged by the cross. Because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardening of their hearts. You all of us know people that have had a hardening of the heart. And maybe it's you. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. Every kind of impurity. I don't know where you are right now, but we are called to a higher standard. A much, 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 right? Much higher standard than we have called ourselves to. It is about faithfulness and confidence that God is better than what we think. That God is more beautiful and more glorious than anything that we can ever comprehend. And because he is, and if we believe that, then what happens is we will be infused with the power of the Spirit, which will allow us to no longer desire those fleshly desires and those impurities. And those impurities will begin to separate from us, and we will begin to focus on a God that is pure and holy and righteous, rather than on all the other debris and junk and garbage that can corrupt us. There is freedom in Christ, the reason there is freedom is because he separates us from the things of this world if we allow him to do it. And you may be very confused because you may not really understand what it means to be filled with the power of the Spirit. And what that actually means is the Spirit begins to show you things that you've never seen. Things about you, when you examine yourself, you begin to see, I'm not acting right there. You know what? My heart's not right there. My mind's not thinking right there. And begins to extract that stuff and begins to reveal it to you and take it away and throw it into the depths where it belongs. Because that junk and that debris and all the stuff that's been clicked on and that is embedded in your mind, God desires to bring purity and wholeness and separation from the things of this world and beauty in the midst of a mess. Last week I shared this with you. We are not just a Christian family. We are a Christ-centered home. We are, everybody say this with me.
We are not just a family.
We are a Christ-centered home. Don't you want to be able to say that about your home, whether it's just you or whether it's a big family of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, or 2, or 1, or whatever it may be. Whatever your family dynamics looks like, don't we want to be able to say together, we are not, we want to say this together.
We are not just a Christian family. We are a Christ-centered home.
We are a Christ-centered home. What would that look like? What would that look like if every single person sitting in here this very morning could say, we are a Christian
home.
We are not just a Christian family.
We are a Christ-centered home.
What if we could all say that last part?
We are a Christ-centered home.
We are a Christ-centered home. If we can say that, all of us, and truly mean it, and truly be it, and truly live it, then we're no longer phonies. We are real. We are real, authentic people. And you know what? People from the outside that don't know who Christians are, who they know the fakers, the people that say, we're a Christian family, but don't live it, don't love like that, they would look at the church and look at God completely different. If they truly saw family and households that are Christ-centered. You want to radically reshape the cultural dynamics of Cape Cod? Have a Christ-centered home. You want to radically reshape the cultural dynamics of the United States? Have a Christ-centered home. You want to radically reshape the cultural dynamics of the entire world? Have a Christ-centered home.
Yeah. Amen.
You want to revolutionize a society that has allowed a back seat to be taken to Christ, and Christ in the center, and Christ in the midst, and Christ overlapping every single aspect of the home? Have a Christ-centered home, yeah. And you will see a society that is revolutionary change for the betterment of the world. No longer be satisfied with a home that is not Christ-centered. Don't do it. You may say, there's too much happening. There's too much going on in our home. And I'm too confused by all this. I just don't get it, man. There's too much.
Hang in there, brother.
Wake up. It means you haven't been really following after God. And you gotta get on track. Because with a train, if they're not on track, what are they? They're derailed. We cannot be derailed any longer. Society is looking at us, but most importantly, you're family is looking at you. If you have small children, if you have grown children, they are looking at you. If you have nieces and nephews, they are looking at you. They know whether you say you're a Christian home or if you are a Christ-centered home. They know the difference. Everybody knows the difference. All right, I'm done with that one. Let's move on.
Moving on.
Let's read Psalm 119, 9 through 10. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Anyone know what the longest psalm in the scriptures is? Psalm 119. We can pull apart and abstract all sorts of beautiful truths from Psalm 119. But let's read this one together because this is very important. Because some of us have young people that I would say, are you ready for this? Every single person in this building right now has a young person that you can radically affect in your life. Did you know that?
Yes.
It doesn't matter if you're a mom or a dad. It doesn't matter if you're 15 or 14. It doesn't matter if you're 9 or 10. It doesn't matter if you're 95.
What about Willow?
But we all have young people we can affect. Let's read this together.
How can a young man stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word.
I will seek you with all my heart.
Do not let me stray from your commands.
That is a call out. That is a call out. And this is a passage that we need to memorize and internalize. Because there are young people in your life. And maybe you are a young person. And we all hopefully feel young. Or think young anyway. But by living according to your word. So how do we stay pure? We live according to God's word. And we seek him with all our heart. Live according to his word and seek him with all your heart. When we really desire something, we go after it, right? Like, when I first saw Stacy, guess what? I was like, I think she's kind of cute. And then I got to talk to her in the dining hall. And I said, you know what? I think I want to get together with that girl and get to know her a little more. And then I got to get together with her and got to know her more. We became friends and we began talking and get to know each other. And then as we got to know each other, guess what? I saw after her, she wasn't the word, but she was like, wow, I'm like, wow, I like her. And then it says, I seek you with all my heart. Guess what? I was going after her. I ended up eventually giving her my heart. Ultimately, God had my heart first. But I gave my heart to her. And when you give your heart to somebody,
you die.
You know? That can be hard, right? Because you're vulnerable. Just as, are you ready for this? When we give our heart to God, guess what?
We're vulnerable.
We may feel vulnerable, but we're not. Because God already knows our heart. And he's going to protect our heart. Just like it is my, as the dad in my household, it is my responsibility as the dad to protect Kelsey and Troy's heart. I don't know if you understand what I just said. That is my responsibility. You may have a kid that looks up to you in your life. It is your responsibility to protect their heart. And you may have failed in that over the years. But God's okay with failure. But he's not okay with not doing anything. He's not okay with not being in the Word and seeking him. He wants us to be a people of the Word. And he wants us to be people that seek him. And when young people see that in us older folk, it makes a world of difference. Are you ready? Here it is for the family. Alright, let's read this together.
How can our family stay on the path of purity? By living according to the word, we will seek you with all of our hearts. Do not let us stray from your commands.
Some of you may need to write that down. If you need my notes, I will give them to you, okay?
I got last week's.
Because it is so important to be able to reflect on this and to talk about this with our family. May this become a theme verse for your home, and for your grandkids, and for your grandkids' homes. Even if they're not Christian homes, you start praying like this. Lord, allow my entire family to stay on the path of purity, or to discover the path of purity. And may they discover what it means to live according to your word. And Lord, may they seek you with all their hearts. And don't let them go astray from your commands, God. I know this is a big prayer, God. But God, I ask, O Lord, that that will be the overflow of my prayer, that they will discover you, and our household, our entire family, and extended family will discover you in power, and there will be major, major change and reformation in the context of our family dynamics. So, how do we create a culture of purity? Well, creating a culture of purity, the first thing that we need to do is we need to get our hearts, get your own heart right. Ready? Get your own heart right. Get my own heart right. That's the very first thing that we need to do. And in Proverbs 4:23 it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Did you know everything that you do flows from the overflow of your heart? We cannot function without a heart. And some of us have had heart surgery in here and know all too well what that means for us personally. I remember when my grandfather had 5 bypass surgery. I was up in New York and he was down in Florida. And I remember talking to him on the phone and praying with him before he went into surgery. And he said to me, he said, Colby, I'm not really concerned. And I said, that's good, Papa. That's real good. And I remember talking to him. I said, can I pray with you? And he said, yes. And I remember praying with my grandfather over the phone. And I wanted to be there in person, but he said, don't worry about it. I'll be all right. And he went into surgery, and he had 5 bypass surgery. And guess what? He's still alive today. And you may not know this, but when I was 6 years old, my dad was one of the first to have bypass surgery in 1980, and he died. So, even though I was a young boy, a lot of memories flooded into my mind and into my heart at that time when I was praying on the phone with my grandfather, because he's been a strong male role model in my life. And he's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And neither am I, just so you know. And I've had some great men step into my life over the years. My uncles, my brother, and my brother-in-law. They've had a huge impact on my life. So guys and ladies, whatever age you are, wherever you find yourself, you can have tremendous impact on people that are younger than you. Tremendous impact. I am a walking testimony of what God has done in my life, but also who God's put in my life. You understand what I'm saying? You see, God puts people in our lives. Some people are thorns in our flesh that will teach us patience, perseverance, endurance. But others are beautiful people that God has placed in our life, sometimes for short spans of time, but has placed them in our lives to speak into our lives. mm-hmm. to help us do what God wants us to do in our mm-hmm. lives, to impact other people's lives through what God has done in their lives and shown us through them. Don't ever underestimate what God can do with you. The second thing is parent to the heart. Did you hear that? Parent to the heart. So this second one is parent to the heart. And what I mean by that is it all starts with the heart. Sometimes I find myself, as I'm a parent, I parent to whatever has happened, the event that has taken place, such as someone has kicked another person. I'm talking about my human children.
Weird.
One has kicked another one. And I get, what are you doing? That's not right. Stop doing that, right? When in reality, that is likely a heart issue. And we've got to examine the heart. Because what does it say about God in 1 Samuel 16:7? Ready? Like, we're going to read this together. The Lord
does not look at the people.
People look at the appearance.
The Lord looks at the heart.
We do, don't we? Don't we look at the outward appearance? Like, if I see you, I see the outside, right? You look at me, you see the outside, right? Yeah. So you see the exterior. You see the exterior appearance rather than the interior, the heart. What really matters, we often don't see. And because we're so focused on the exterior and the exterior beauty, so we think it's beauty, we can be incredibly beautiful. We've all met people like this. People that are incredibly handsome or beautiful on the outside, and inside they are wicked. They are not nice people. They are not kind and compassionate and loving. The exterior does not matter because guess what? You may not want to hear this. The exterior is going to fail us. We will not be the beauty we once were. We will not be the handsome young fellow, strapping young lad that we once were. We start getting older and our bodies begin to deteriorate. And stuff begins to sag where it once didn't sag.
Dun, dun.
And we begin to lag when we once didn't lag. Oh, why am I so tired? Oh, could it be because I put on so many pounds over the years, right? Could it be because I don't eat healthy anymore? Could it be because my hip is going? My leg has gone, right? It could be a number of things. And as we age, we feel our body. But we got to realize it's not about the exterior. We have to realize that. It is so hard because everything society throws at us has to do with exterior. Be a phony, it's cool. We'll airbrush these models so you think in that magazine that they are perfect, when in reality they are far from perfect. There are all sorts of blemishes and things all over their body. But because we see the images, and you may think it doesn't do you any harm when you're flipping through a magazine that has all these supermodels airbrushed. It does you, ladies, are you listening to me? It does you great harm every turn of the page. Because what it is saying to you, it is saying, I'm not pretty enough. I'm not skinny enough. I'm not good enough. And constantly beating ourselves up when in reality, you are who you are because God created you the way you are. You are the person you are exteriorly because you are beautiful in God's image. You are handsome in God's image.
That's right.
You are created in God's image.
Preacher, brother.
And you are who you are. Don't discover the lies from the world and embrace these evil lies that you are not beautiful.
Yes.
Don't do it. Don't believe that you are not good enough. It is a lie from the, ready? From the pit of hell. It is Satan manipulating you into thinking that you are not worthy enough. You'll never be good enough. And it is a lie from Satan being spoken to you over and over and over and over again. And God is trying to come in and say, listen, please.
Wake up.
Wake up. I am here. You are beautiful. You are lovely. You are are specially created for a beautiful purpose. And it is a purpose far exceeding what you think it is. You just got to follow me. You just got to pursue me. You just got to surrender to me. And you just got to allow me to work in your life and allow your heart to be open to what I have for you. Because, oh, you don't understand. I've got so much for you. And God's calling out, I've got so much for you. I've got so much in store for your life. Yet you're focused on your exterior. Why are you focused on your exterior? Don't you know that my human body was not beautiful? This is Jesus. It says right in Isaiah that he was not beautiful. Because the exterior doesn't matter. It's all about the interior. It's all about the heart. Right actions come out of a right heart. You hear that? So, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, the reason why we need to look at the heart of the children that are in our lives is because right actions come out of a right heart. So, if our kids have a right heart, then right actions will just be the natural overflow of their heart. With us as adults, right action will come from our right heart. It'll just be a natural overflow. The third thing is, well, I want to share this verse. I didn't know what was going on. Pursue perfect purity of the heart. Did you hear that? Alright. Notice the underlined word. Let's say it together. Pursue perfect purity of the heart. So perfect. Pursue perfect purity of the heart. Am I overstating that word perfect? Be perfect, therefore, as the Heavenly Father is perfect. It says it right in the text. But pursue perfect purity of the heart. Our pursuit, if I'm going to aim down here, guess what? That's the target I'm going to hit. If I'm going to aim up there, that's ultimately the target I aspire to. What we aspire to is what we need to try to attain, and we need to pursue. So pursue perfect purity of the heart. Perfect purity of the heart means maybe you have to smash a computer. Maybe you need to get rid of a TV that has hindered you for years. Maybe, just maybe, you need to start talking to people instead of Oh, I was texting in case you were there. Right? And we get so caught up in this. No. Maybe we need to get rid of this for a while so we can focus on the horizontal. We need to focus on the vertical. We are so focused on horizontal stuff. But when we start focusing on the vertical, that's when we can pursue perfect purity of the heart. Cleansing. God can cleanse us and restore us. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Ephesians 5:3. So it calls out and says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity. Any kind. Not just, I can already hear you saying, that's impossible. There's no way I can attain that. Right? Stop lying to yourselves. We got to stop lying. That is exactly what the enemy wants us to think. That we can never, ever attain that. And we can. Through the power of a holy God who can purify us and cleanse us, we can attain it. Do you believe God can do anything?
Yes.
Yes. No. I'm going to ask that again. Do you believe that God can do anything?
Yes.
Yes.
Do we believe that God can do anything?
Yes.
So we do. We say we believe that God can do anything. And if we believe God can do anything, then God can purify us. Ezekiel 36:26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Woo! Right? Wow. So those of us that just doubted that, we were doubters. Is your life a negative life or a positive life? Do you think of everything in a negative sense? Or do you see the beauty and peace and joy and hope in all the things around you? Or are you always focused on that stuff? Like, oh, that's not right, that's not right, this isn't right, that's not right. Oh, you're not right, you're not right. And then we're never pointing back at ourselves. We're looking at everything else, the exterior, but we're forgetting about the interior. Well, how sweet is this passage in Ezekiel? By the way, Ezekiel is another prophet that was called by God to speak to nations in some powerful ways. And it was scary for him too. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will do what? I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Get rid of this old self. I want the new. I want the new. I want the power of you upon my life. And I shared with you earlier that I wanted you to hear this devotional that Stacy and I have been reading. And this particular one from today. So I'm going to ask her to come up and read this because I think we're going to be able to relate to this. And take some notes on this, what she's going to read. It's pretty short, but I think it will be impactful for you to hear. It's a true life story of somebody that was truly faithful to God and followed after God in some powerful ways. Did not live a long life, but lived a radical life of impact. So here is what it says about this particular.
Thank you.
come to you right now, Lord, and our desire is that, Lord, you will reign in our home. God, we ask for your blessing to be upon our homes as we pursue you. And as we pursue you, oh God, Father, I ask that you would humble us and allow us to serve our families, God. Allow us to serve our church family. Allow us to love like you love. Allow the hope that is within us to overflow in our homes, in our interactions with our friends and our family. Allow the overflow of our hearts to be so beautiful, God, that there's no doubt, that there's no question, that people will smell the aroma of you in our lives. Lord, may your Spirit move powerfully in us right now, Lord, and purify our hearts and our minds. Allow us to seek you. And we ask, oh God, that our homes will glorify you. Amen.
Amen.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's say that together.
As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Let's say it standing one more time. Ready? We're going to do this with power. As for
me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My house, we will serve you, Lord. Down our heart to worship your grace and love, Lord. Me and my house, we will serve you, Lord. I can hold the hands and march to your grace and love, Lord. For perfection, our only hope. Our only hope is our eyes on you alone. Humbly surrender to you, our King, our one desire, our offering. You deserve all honor and all praise. You deserve all honor and all praise. And my house, we will serve you, Lord. Help me down our hearts to worship your face, Lord, our voice. For me and my house, we will serve you, Lord. Lifting holy hands and worship for your grace, Lord, our voice.
Shannon.
That song
again.
Woohoo! Would you like to hear that?
Oh my goodness.
She's passing her baby off. Can we flip back to those slides?
Absolutely. Oh, look.
Look,
it's right there already.
I think the Spirit is moving right now, and you presence of Spirit right now, but I pray that as this song is sung, that you really absorb what God desires to speak over you and over me. Amen.
Amen.